If you have been soaring with God, don't land. Okay? And to soar with God takes no physical effort. You know, physically to soar, a bird's either got to flap its wings or some form of engine has got to get it up to a place where it can soar. Spiritually, we don't have to do anything physically. So if you're feeling, well, I don't feel I've soared this morning, just open your heart. You can still soar now. And I don't want us to lose where the Spirit. We're not now going into the Word without the Spirit. It's Spirit and Word together. So, Father, help us to keep soaring with you. Help us to see it, whatever it is in our lives, from your perspective. Because it will be different. It will be different. So, Lord, I pray you'll help me. And, Lord, I pray that I share from your perspective. That these are your words, Lord, I ask you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think my voice is breaking. So, it is. I think I'm going to... Yes. It's that time of life. I need glasses as well. Okay. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to share some things about 2018, but I can't go there without thanking God for 2017. You know, we saw healings, we saw salvation, we saw answer to prayer, we found favor with counsel and with counselors, we knew financial blessing. Like we've never known before. And I believe our community was touched by his kingdom. We are very British. Woohoo. Yeah. Yes. You know, I'm not American, and there's some things about America, I'll say on tape, that I'm not particularly... fond of, but they do know how to celebrate things. And, you know, but what I'm even more excited about is what God is going to do this year. Amen. Well, and Tim, you can do it with an American accent. I mean, brother, yeah. Preach the word, yeah. And, I know Andy and Jane are not here, and I hope Jane doesn't know, but Jane put something on WhatsApp over Christmas, and she said, 2018 is going to be epic because God's got good stuff for all of us. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they are together. And that's what I am. You know, I'm believing we're going to see an increase of the dimension of his kingdom in our lives, in this town and in this region. You know, 2000 isn't an exception year, as if God has thrown in a good year. No, that's how we are to live kingdom life. That is what he wants for us all the time. And it's not a static journey. He wants to increase that all the time. So my prayer this morning is that yes, you are stirred, that you are envisioned, that you are expectant for 2018. But more importantly, that you catch his heart for 2018. Because that will change everything in our lives. Oh, have I got this? I don't like technology. This isn't moving on. And that's as far as I know. Ah, great. Now, if you weren't here last week, I really would encourage you to listen to Bob's word about the Bride of Christ. It was excellent. And, you know, I was meant to speak last week, and then through everything else that's going on, Bob very kindly swapped. And... you know, God is just so brilliant because he knew what was best. And actually, it was great that Bob started the year because what he was reminding us of, that whole intimacy of Christ, needed to be what we launched from this year. So I really would encourage you to listen to that word. And following on from that, There's something I believe that is key that comes out of that intimate relationship with Jesus. And that's this. Our dependence on God. The more we know his favor and see his blessing, the more dependent we need to be upon him. And dependence on him is key because it affects our approach, it affects our attitude to everything that this year holds, whatever that might be. But it is also key in seeing his desire for us to grow in him. I say again, we're not on a static journey with God. He has so much. You know, do you find this? The more you get to know him, the less I feel I know about him. And the more I need to spend time with him to know greater things from him. And I know dependency is key on God this year. Why do I know that? Because Satan is always at work trying to make us independent. He's done it since Adam and Eve, and he's still having a good go at it now. He's not subtle. Other times he is very subtle. See, he won't deny Scripture. He didn't deny Scripture when he spoke to Eve. But he'll use whatever means, whatever circumstance you have, to get you to question Scripture. In such a way as to undermine and discredit it. That's his number one aim. He wants you independent. He wants you to think, is this word really true? Because he wants you to distrust the goodness of God. We speak a lot about the goodness of God. He doesn't want that. He wants you to distrust the goodness of God. Just as he did with Eve. See, he wants you to doubt the word. See, your life might be like this, and the word says this. Now, if you say, well, I'm not sure about this, God. You know, I'm not seeing this in this. If he can get you to doubt it, you'll start to disbelieve it. And if you start to disbelieve it, then you'll start to disobey it. Let us not be unwise in thinking that we can't be fooled by Satan. He's sly, he's subtle, he's devious. And that's some of his good characteristics. But since Adam, our human nature has been born with rebellion in it. Yeah, we are new creations, but we're in earthen vessels. And the essence of rebellion is a desire to be independent of God. So we're going to start by, I'm going to give you 3 steps to staying dependent on God. The first one's this. We must believe and trust in God's goodness. Now I want you to close your eyes for a sec. Do you trust God? Just think about every aspect of your life, every circumstance. Do you trust God? There are Christians who genuinely don't trust God. They really do not believe that God will do them good. See, they believe if they surrender to God, he's going to ask them to do something awful. Or allow something terrible to happen to them. That's a lie. That's a lie of the enemy. You can open your eyes now, just in case I'm fading. That is a lie. You know, God has the best for us. We have to start as we mean to go on in 2018. We'll come back to this, and we're going to do this individually and corporately then. But our prayer needs to be this. Lord, I'm willing to trust you for this year without knowing what you're going to ask me to do or what you're going to ask of me. And that's important. You know, I'm sure we've all come across people who will say, well, I'll trust God if he does this or if he does that. Well, That's not trust, is it? Trust is surrendering when we don't know what he'll do, but knowing he has the best for us. And know this, your encouragement is this. He will do better for you than you will do for yourself. He will do better for you than you will do for yourself. He's got your best interest at heart. And sometimes, being human, we don't see the big picture. Why? Because we're not God. God sees it all. He knows it all. And why shouldn't we trust him? Why shouldn't we trust his goodness? He's already demonstrated it. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Why wouldn't we trust someone like that? Secondly, we must lay down our independence. It is both ridiculous and sinful to want to be independent from God. Let's just have a think of who he is. He is the Almighty God. He is the creator of the universe, the Lord of millions of angels, the one who controls the stars, the seas, and the seasons. And yet we can have an attitude of, I want to be independent. I know what's best. There's a quote I came across. It said, this is a paradox of man. Compared to God, man is nothing. And that is true. That is true. When we look that he's a creator of the stars, the seas, the seasons, the universe, the way it's all held together. In that context, we're like some little ant on the floor shouting, I want to be independent. And you think that's crazy. You know, if you were describing that as a, you think that's crazy. Why would me as a little ant think I would know better than God who created everything? It's just crazy. But here's the second part of that quote. Yet we are everything to God. And that's it. Compared with God, we are nothing, yet we are everything to him. So let us not be independent. Let us be dependent upon him. And then third step. Believe the word of God more than your own senses. See, Eve's mistake was she looked at the tree, and she studied the tree, and she listened to what Satan was saying, and she said, well, that tree looks good to me. No matter what God has said about it, I'm going to eat of that tree. It's important for us to remember, we are not necessarily called to understand everything in the Bible. Who finds verses that confuse them in the Bible? That's all of us. See, that's another thing Satan will say to you, no, it's only you. You don't get it, do you? No, there are some things that we don't understand. But we are all called to believe what's in the Bible. That's called faith. It's saying, okay, God, I don't get this, but I get who you are. I see the truths I do know about you. You know, we can sometimes approach this concept of we're called to believe the wrong way round. When scripture tells us, actually, it's the opposite. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So we believe first. We believe that, yeah, I might not understand that particular sentence, that particular verse, this particular passage, this particular book of Revelation. I might not understand it, but Lord, I believe it's true. I believe it's true because I do know what you're like here and I do know what you're like in this. See, if we fail to believe God's word, it follows that we'll no longer trust his goodness because we will refuse to believe he's telling the truth. It's back to that doubt again. But he has our best interest at heart. And if we don't feel he's got our best interest at heart, we'll no longer be able to live with a dependence on him. Our senses, our feelings, our emotions take over. Father's always looking for the sacrifice of the heart, for it is in the yielding of the heart that true believers find him. And remember, faith comes from the heart, not the mind. Living a life of surrender to God can only result in ever-increasing faith. And the wonderful thing with God, this place of surrender is an expression of our dependence upon him. Dependence is surrender made manifest. It's an expression of our faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I just want to touch on one more slight area in this. Waiting deals with independence. Are you waiting for answers? Who's waiting for an answer? Maybe this year, maybe this week, this month. God knows what's best for you. Sometimes he'll keep us in a place of waiting until his process is complete. Sometimes he'll keep us in a place of waiting until we make the right choices. Because sometimes our choices are consequences of our waiting. Either way, while you're waiting, while I'm waiting, we can struggle. We can complain. Do you know we can even pray? But he's not going to let us, he's not going to let you or me out of that place of waiting until he has fulfilled his purpose for you and for me. I was with someone once and they said, I'm not independent. I just know exactly what I need. And I'm sitting there and going, oh, well, that's kind of not dependent. We can all do it. We can all think we know best. But at the start of this year, let us be dependent on him. And here's a wonder. In our waiting, he deals with our independence. As he acts on behalf of those who wait. If we learn to wait on him, we actually will become increasingly more dependent upon him. And the encouragement is, not do only we wait, but he waits. Isaiah 30 says, therefore the Lord will wait. Can you imagine how much waiting he has to do with us? That's a big room of waiting. Well, why does he do it? That he may be gracious to you. He has your best interest at heart. He knows what's best for you. And therefore, out of that waiting, he will be exalted when he brings that best out for you, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. You could do a great preach on those verses. He's waiting. He's waiting. Now, if he's been patient enough to wait over decades, over centuries, over thousands, can we not wait for him? Knowing that he has the best, knowing that he sees the bigger picture. So let a key element be in our hearts that we are dependent upon him in 2018. Jacqueline gave me a card. It's got a little key on it. And on the back of this card, it says this. The Lord is giving you a key, and the key is titled Enough. God wants you to know you have everything it takes to fully walk out his call on your life. Enough resources, enough connections, and enough courage. What he has placed within you is more than enough. That's as true for you as it is for me. God has given you enough for this year. More than enough. So what are some of the things that 2018 is holding for Rugeley Community Church? What a lovely picture that is. There's something angelic about that picture. I don't know what it is. (Clears throat) Jacqueline and I have been in some form of leadership, eldership, leadership of the church for something like 20 years. I'm going to share what I shared with the team, whenever it was, I can't remember. I'm losing track of it. I don't say this lightly. This is the best team we've ever been in. And we mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Why? Because of the personalities, the friendship, the gifting, the faithfulness, the heart, the vision and the dreams. We have not been in a team like this. And I don't believe God has not put this team together for any other reason than to see this town and this region changed. Not just through that team, but through this family. But the makeup of that team is for big things. Now, we're not meant to say this because we're English. But I'm talking kingdom, so you're going to get it. That is why this team has been put together. Now, you might know that Liz and Chris have been meeting with us since January 2017. And I'm going to say some things about them now. Over that year, we've seen them grow spiritually. We valued their input and their wisdom, their contributions and their creativity when we gather together. They have been a part of shaping what this team is becoming. We're still on a journey, but what this team is becoming. And as a team, we've recognized what God is so obviously doing in their lives in regards to leadership. Now, this hasn't just been noticed by us. There are others within the church family have come and have said that to us. So we feel the time is right to recognize what God is doing and bringing Liz and Chris onto the team. Now, they've met with both the Connollys and the Smiths. They've spent time with them. And both of them, couples, fed back, "What an excellent couple you have." And I agree. I agree. So we're now sharing this with you to give you an opportunity to feedback to us. Before the Connollys and the Smiths come on the 25th of February to pray Liz and Chris onto the team. I think that's exciting. Yeah. It is. I think this year is exciting for everyone. Who knows what you might be doing at the end of 2018? You might be here talking about what God has done for you and through you. We are so thankful to God for such good friends who support and journey with us. And I just wanted to share about how that journey is going to develop with these couples who we hold dearly. So in regards to Tony and Kay, they're going to be sharing and praying when we pray for Liz and Chris on the 25th of February. Now, I've got this wrong. I've put they're going to be meeting with the leadership team four times. That's the wrong word. They're going to be spending time with the leadership team. We don't have meetings with any of these people. We're in relationship with them. And the purpose, we've already had one Saturday morning with them. The purpose of that is that they're helping us to implement our values and our culture. What that actually looks like practically, I mean, we had such a good morning with them as a Saturday before Christmas. Tony thinks this might take 2 years, but that's okay, because actually it's getting those words, what we say our culture is, what we say our values are, to actually what that looks like in every circumstance of life. You know, it's like the rubber hitting the road. Otherwise, it stays as words. And that's not what we're about. They're going to be preaching a couple of times. And they're going to be meeting with the 21st century group. And you might think, well, who's that? Well, I'll come to that in a bit. So, you know, their commitment to us is just wonderful, as is Dave and Julie. Dave has actually cut... that's the only photograph we've got of him now with... We need a new photograph because he has cut his beard. He's not looking so much like, well, I'll let you decide what he looks like or not. So, In regards to Dave and Julie, they're going to be preaching on the 25th when we're praying for Liz and Chris. And Dave is also going to be coming down and meeting with, spending time with the leadership team. But it's also involved with what is our 21st century group. And we're going to be doing something called Strength Finders with that group. Now, the 21st century group is made up of what we used to call our old wider leaders. But it's also involving people who we see have got leadership giftings. But please hear this. It's not an exclusive group. And it will be a changing group. And any time, maybe you might be joining that group. And you say, well, it's not for me. No. Let's soar. Let God decide that. You know, we're always very good in our own minds of discounting ourselves. But let us be dependent on Him and let us see what He wants to do with us. And I wanted to reaffirm, our framework is not of leadership here. We've said this before. Our leadership starts here, and we want to build upon us. So as we've said and others quote, we want to be your floor, not your ceiling. So this, even this 20th century group, it's another way it's beginning to take the shape of who we are, but we're going that way, okay? Not this way. Because that way, whoever feels that they're down there thinks, well, who am I? No, you're as important as whoever else in this church. And we're building that framework that gives you the opportunity to grow and to come into everything that God has purpose for your life. You know the biggest thing? You just got to believe it. I didn't ever think I would be standing here or leading this church. In fact, I had a good old battle with God over that for a number of years. But you know, he does put you in the equivalent to a whale with Jonah, and he gets you to a point where you just think, oh God, okay God, I think you know best. So don't discount yourself because of who you think you are. Look at who God says you are. Both Dave Barnsley and I meet with Dave as well. And you know, Dave's so good, he'll give us, we spend 4 hours with Dave Connolly. We're just moving the venue this year, Dave, aren't we? But, I mean, most of that has been in Liverpool Cathedral. And that's quite interesting because it used to be on a Friday when they tested the organ. So they'd hold it on one note for about 5 minutes. And I'm with two guys, I've both got hearing aids. So it makes it very interesting conversations.
Yeah.
Tony and Ursula, they're another couple who we dearly love. And perhaps some of you have not seen a lot of, particularly Ursula, but Tony, but that relationship is developing as well. Again, Tony's going to be coming and spending time with the leadership team. Both Jacqueline and myself, we spend 2 days, two times a year with Tony and Ursula. And, you know, I just value their friendship and input. So you know, we were down in Lewis sorting out mum stuff and the phone goes and it's just Tony because he'd heard we were going through all this and he just wanted to find out how we were. And I just think that's so good. This guy just got back from Argentina. I don't even know if he's on the same time zone, but you know, he took the time out. And because they're our nearest relationship, you know, they put on some great conferences. I would encourage you, to go to the Spring Outpouring weekend if you can. Mario, I don't know a lot about him, but I know having Tony come back from Argentina, he's a powerful guy. And Tony's just been really challenged and touched by about prayer. Randy Clark, I have heard, and I'm going to get American here. He is awesome, okay? He will empower. He will impart things into your life that can only do you good. And there's other things like equip days, so we will advertise them. So, you know, we do value them. And, you know, as a leadership team, we recognize the importance of the input that the Smiths, the Connollys, the Vossels, and the Carters from Eastgate Church have given and are giving into us. they are speaking into us as a team, and they have opportunity to speak into us as a church. And I'm so grateful, you know, for what they carry and the experience they have of kingdom culture. It can only do us good. Now, as you know, as a leadership team, we went on this Living Fire training last year. And we found it so beneficial. You know, it's so practical. All these guys are doing, they're not saying, this is us, do as us. They're just saying, this is what we've learned. This is what we're learning. This is what we got right. And more importantly, this is what we got wrong. And we had such a good time. And we just felt, you know, we want to send others on that. We don't want to, again, make this exclusive. Yeah, we have to have some sort of logistic way of doing that. Because it will help the church grow. It will help the church grow in the culture and the values that we believe that God has called us in forming the framework. So this year, Dave and Marie and Bill and Sheila are going. In fact, they're going in 2 weeks' time. So we need to pray for them. In fact, we'll have opportunity next week to do that. But we want to send others in 2019. Maybe God speaks to you and says, look, I really want to do this. Then you come and speak to us. You know, if I could take us all on it at once, I would. I would. Because it's just something that would help us. But we can't logistically do that. But our heart is. So please, don't just think, oh, I'll discount that. That's obviously for those sort of people. No, you are one of those sort of people. Okay? So we will look to send others. In May, we've got an equip team coming. Eastgate have a daytime school of supernatural life. These guys are radical and on the edge. Why? Because they put God first. So they're not coming to teach us or train us. They're coming to equip us. And we really look forward to them coming. And obviously we'll let you know more details as we get them. But again, we will advertise conferences. They have, I know North Kent is difficult to, and sometimes there is a cost to these things, but sometimes we just need to do that. I know Jacqueline, she's been to the Heaven in Healthcare, and we're going to encourage those within the NHS to go, because she found it so beneficial, being with like-minded people, but also in a kingdom environment. And, again, we will let you know when that is happening. Now, do you recognise anyone in this picture? No? Okay. Do you recognise? That's Fiona. Some of you might remember Fiona from a couple of years ago. She came with Irene and Kate. And they sent me this little bio, so I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to explain what they're going to come and do. It said, Mark and Fiona have 5 children, aged between 12 and 20. You've got to be gifted there alone, haven't you, for that? They love to travel and experience the diversity of different cultures. Mark and Fiona activate people in their God-given identity and destiny. They are both passionate about creating an evangelistic slipstream, enabling others to supernaturally speak about Jesus confidently and courageously. They love to bring the reality of the kingdom of God to unbelievers wherever they are. We heard them while we were on the Living Fire conference, and they were just so blown away. Marcus and Fiona have done this. They're bringing out a book and a series on this whole thing of God's dream. And God's dream is to see people saved. But just the way that they present it and do it, it will only but inspire you in regards to that big word, evangelism. But you know what I think their teaching does? I think it takes out the fear of doing evangelism. You say, well, there shouldn't be fear in evangelism. No, there shouldn't, but there is. I think too often in the past that evangelism has been taught on the back of religion and law. And all that produces is fear. I believe what they bring will set people free to join God's dream of seeing people saved. And the way they do it so fits with the framework that we're talking about now. So I'm really looking forward to when they come. Open worship. You know, we've had some great times with open worship. But we felt, in talking with Chris, that actually we want this to develop. And I believe it's been prayed this morning. I believe prayer is key and something we need to re-engage with. You know, we have, and I will share this at another time, but we've reopened the prayer room for a Sunday morning because sometimes you don't get a chance to get in there. I would encourage you, don't go in there when the meeting's on. That's not the point of going. And don't go in there when the prayer meeting's on. But if beforehand or after, you want to go. You know, I go in there in the week when I'm frustrated, when I'm stuck, when I'm not seeing something through, I go in there. Is there anything that's special about that room? Not in itself, but the presence of God is in there. Why? Because I choose to take myself out of my normal circumstances and put myself into where I want to hear from God. So to go in there. But we want to develop the open worship and involve prayer. So that's going to be from 7 till 8:30. So it will still be open worship, but we're going to pray into things in the presence of God while that happens. And you know, I'm very conscious of not filling this year up. It used to be you judge how well the church was doing by how many meetings you had. And my observation from that is what you had was a burnt out church. So we are being deliberate. We are deliberate in doing a year plan. And the gaps are there for a purpose. They're not to fill up with other stuff. So we will as a leadership team protect that time because it gives us opportunity when we're not meeting and not doing anything, just to soak with Father, just to go through what maybe he's been saying to us, to give us that free time. So there are only two Sundays evenings that we have stuff on. The one is the 21st century group. The second is the open worship. So for some of you, there's only one Sunday. So I want to encourage you. I want you to cause us a problem that we can't all fit in that pear tree room. And we have to leave this set up because there's too many to get in the prayer tree room. So will you make that problem for me? Okay, some of you will. I just want to quickly say something about connect groups. You know, when I talked about them, they're from acorns to oak trees, meaning we want to give them time. We're in this for the long haul with them. And they're different from the groups we've done before. So if a group is running this term, it doesn't mean it's going to run till Jesus returns. It may want to, and that's fine. But you know, we're doing these groups termly. So it might be that this group, whatever it is, runs for that term, but it doesn't run the next term, and that's okay. It might be there's not enough people to run it this term. That's okay. We look at running it the next term. There are such good groups for this term. My challenge is, did you sign up? I'll leave it at that. The center, the purchase of the center. You're thinking, this is one. Have we been trying to do this a long time? Yes, we have. And it was actually this time, not long after this time last year, that the council offered us the opportunity to buy it. But you know, I'm so aware of God's timing. And we're actually meeting with the council this week and hoping to progress this. They are still very much keen to sell it. There's just been other things. But actually those other things have opened our vision to bigger things. You know, we think, wow, God wants to give us this and a bit of that out there. But actually in the waiting, that's got a bit bigger. So I don't want to limit God by what I can't see and his timing. So yeah, we're going to push because it does hold us back in some respects. And it's coming up to their end of their financial year. So it's going to look even more appetizing, hopefully, to them. And again, it's something we need to keep praying about. So keep praying about that. Because we want something to hand on to generations to come. You know, when we're not just thinking about this in the short term or maybe in the things that we're beyond. your children's children, what will they be doing with this? Something that will be much more than we're doing, because that's the journey we're all on. Churches together. I'm so excited. I think what God is doing with us as churches together, you don't see in a lot of towns. And that's just an observation. It's not a criticism. Andy produced these wonderful cards for us, which I'm going to put out. And we've done it as church together. So every church is on the back of this, and it shows you where it is. That means someone could go somewhere else. Yes, it does. But, you know, we are working together. We now, as leaders, there's seven of us, meet the first Wednesday in the month. And we share, and we pray, and we are open and honest with one another. And I think it's creating something that I have never seen before in churches together. And something that we're doing in this month is something we haven't done for a number of years, is the week of prayer. So I've got some handouts, so don't worry about putting dates. I've got some handouts on that. Now, most of them are in the week, Monday to Friday. And that's good. But what I'm really excited about is that on the Sunday afternoon, we're going to hold a celebration service of unity here. That's with all the churches together. Now, what did they ask of us? They said, I didn't offer, they said, and that's every church. So we've got Methodist, Catholic, Anglican, and whatever we are, and whatever Victory are. So you've got a broad spread. They said to us, will you do worship? So I thought, well, I'll honour these guys. I said, yeah, if you let us know some type of, you know, how you sing, because we don't want people feeling uncomfortable. And they came back and said, no, you do contemporary worship. We want contemporary worship. I'm thinking, okay, we'll do contemporary. And I said, well, do you want to say, no, just do what you would normally do. So I'm thinking, hey, that's great. And as leaders, we're all going to contribute into this. So we're going to bring verses of unity. We're going to share just maybe one thing that is happening in our church, so that we're doing this together. And I believe there's a spiritual significance about that afternoon. You know, it says where we dwell in unity, there the blessing of the Lord is. And I believe in what God is doing with us as churches together. It's going to help change the atmosphere and culture of this town. Yeah, there will... Thank you, Sheila. We're getting there. We'll have donuts. We'll be having donuts mid-preach. No, Alan, you've had far enough of whatever you're eating now. So, but, you know, I do believe that. I do believe there's a significance in that. So some of the things we're looking at this year, some are still to be arranged, but, you know, the very fact that these things are being talked about. So it's not just a leaders thing, it's us together. Yeah, we all have our own calling, our own vision. And yes, there is unity, but there is diversity. We're not all going to do everything together. But in our own way, we're all going to reach this town. So there'd be the week of prayer, there's a service of unity. We're looking at a men's event, a youth prayer event. The Good Friday is going to be good. That was great last year. We had, I think, nearly 200 people in the town square. We're looking at a harvest event. We will join them again for the remembrance as a church. And the carol singing. Hopefully it'll be dry this year. It was a bit soggy around the edges last year. Okay, so that's churches together. This is something else that excites me. Chris and Ruth, they're not here. Be praying for them. They've got... Somehow they've caught the flu. I don't know where from, but we did send our love to Chris and Ruth. But they approached me last year, because obviously Chris and Ruth are involved with the Stafford Street Pastors, and Dave and Jenny are on training for that now. But Chris and Ruth came and said, look, we've got a real heart to do something similar to that in Rugeley. And I was really found that interesting, because at the time, we were talking and I was praying about this whole thing. How is it best to reach the youth and the young adults of Rugeley? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm very grateful for what we've done in outreaching with the youth in the past. I don't personally believe putting a youth club on for youth out there is the way forward. Why don't I think that? Because what we do is we spend the whole time policing it. And, you know, these kids and young adults get enough policing in their life. They're quite often and quite frequently told how useless they are and what they can't do and what they can do. And, you know, if we bring them into that environment, we will police them. We will say, oh, yeah, no, you're very welcome, but no, you can't go there. No, and please don't do that. And yes, no, you can't. And so we just spend that whole time policing. Where if we go to where they are, you're not policing. You're just loving on them. You're not having to say you can't do that. You're actually talking to them about who they are and finding out about what they are thinking. And that's scriptural. You only have to read about Jesus and the woman at the well. You know, as a Jew, he was meant to go round that town, that village. You know, it was a no-go area. But he didn't. He went to where she was. And in going to where she was and talking with her in her setting, not only was she saved, but that town, that village was changed. And in talking to Chris and Ruth, I believe that street passes can be adapted. Yeah, you know, it's no good us going out at 2 and 3 in the morning like they do in Stafford because we'd be walking around on our own. But there are youth and there are young adults earlier in the evening. And we all know where they congregate. There's the bus station, there's Tesco's, there's Etching Hill. There are various, there's down by the canal. So I shared this with the other church leaders in Rugeley, and they're up for this. They have people already who they feel could get involved with this, as I'm sure we do within this church. So I've got a meeting this week, and we're going to talk through how we can adapt this, what that actually means for us as Rugeley, and then we will call a meeting of people together. So maybe you've got a heart to reach the youth, the young adults. And it's a bit like food bank. Why reinvent the wheel? These are people who have got experience, who can do the training. You know, why can we not dig into that, partner with that, so that we can reach these people? Yeah. That's just some of the things that are happening in 2008. I hope you're stirred by that. Now, if you're on tea and coffee, can I ask you not to go? Sorry. Thank you, Jen, brilliant. But because I want us all to enter in this. See, within our relationship, if we don't stay dependent on God, if we're not soaring with Him, everything I've given you look like dates and meetings. Where I see them as opportunity for each of us to grow and to move and to fulfill what God has for us. So I want you to close your eyes. Can the worship guys come up? I want to say this over you again because I want to encourage you. The Lord is giving you a key. Picture that key. And the key is titled Enough. God wants you to know you have everything it takes to fully walk out His call on your life. You have enough resources. You have enough connections. You have enough courage. What He has placed within you is more than enough. So you can soar in 2018. He's equipped you with enough. okay. Before Jen goes to make the tea and coffee, we're going to stand and we're going to sing the stand again. And I want you to sing it as a prayer. And I'm going to pray this over you. And I pray that you are able, in whatever way, to pray this back as we sing this song. Lord, I am willing to trust you for this year without knowing what you're going to ask of me. And why can you do that in confidence? Because he will do better for you than you will do for yourself. Now you have a choice. You can believe that whatever your senses, your emotions and your circumstances are telling you. Or you can choose not to. But my prayer is that you choose to believe that.